Now, it's time for a little R&R.
All into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
It's a Thursday edition of the program, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Colin Russo with you. You got Mike Rizzo. We got Christian Catt. It's Russo and Rizzo live from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Back into football mode Thursday, December the 4th, 2025. Big weekend ahead on the college sports side of things and in the NFL side of things. A great slate. A lot of divisional matchups today. A lot of implicating matchups throughout the weekend. And it starts tonight on Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, 8:15. In Detroit, you get the Dallas Cowboys sitting at 6-5-1 and the Detroit Lions sitting at 7-5. Both of them are sort of on the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of playing well versus not playing well. The Dallas Cowboys have been playing outstanding. Basically, the last 3 weeks since that loss to the Cardinals, they beat the Eagles, they beat the Chiefs back-to-back, they beat the Chiefs on Thanksgiving. And the other side of things, the Lions sort of laid an egg, not necessarily. They played pretty well, but they lost twice to the Packers in one season. And, you know, they were fortunate to escape the Giants game, which they won in OT. And before that, they lost to the Eagles. So they haven't necessarily played well. And if you're talking about the Lions, they've lost three of their last five games, 7-5 on the outside looking in the playoff picture in the NFC. This is a very implicating game you got tonight on Thursday Night Football. You're going to have another week of implicating. Thankfully, it's not, you know, Titans Raiders with Michaels and Herb Street on the call, not knowing what the hell is going on. Instead, you got a good implicating matchup between two teams sort of on opposite slopes, one upward, one downward. And I'd make the argument that this is a little bit of a play-in tournament. Now, the one thing that hurts is Dallas has the tie. So this is not necessarily a tiebreaker game because nobody's ever going to tie with Dallas because they got the tie to their record and their win-loss. The Cowboys, on the other hand, don't have that. So this is not going to be a Cowboy get the head-to-head tiebreaker. This is instead just going to be a game up or a game down. But I'd make the argument this is, in a lot of ways, for that last spot in the NFC picture.
I think it's do-or-die time for both teams. Could Philadelphia continue the losing skid and kind of poop away the division? Maybe. I don't necessarily see that happening. The tie does hurt if you are the Cowboys. You know, you look back and you kick yourself in the you-know-what. And you go, God, we really couldn't figure something out late in that ball game numerous times. You know, the Aubrey field goal in that game. So I think that might be what kicks them in the rear end at the end of the season. But we'll have to wait and see. Colin, I look at this matchup tonight. Like I said, do or die. And the quarterbacks, right? You know, Jared Goff, I feel like, has been a mediocre quarterback this year. And on the flip side of things, you got Dak Prescott playing better than I think any quarterback in the NFL right now. And with the amount of man defense that the Detroit Lions like to play and how good Pickens and Lamb and company are, I'll tell you what, partner, I favor the Cowboys tonight. I really do. I've been mentioning for weeks, and I didn't listen to myself over Thanksgiving. For some godforsaken reason, I took the Lions with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. You know, Thanksgiving, Lions, thought there could be a little mojo there. But no, I should have listened to myself 2 weeks ago when I told you they were broken. And I stand by that. Something's busted about the Lions. If it's play calling with Dan Campbell, no true offensive coordinator over there with Ben Johnson out. Ben Johnson in the division, 9-3. Packers, 8-3-1. And the Lions in third place at this point. I did not have that on my bingo card. I definitely had the Lions at this point at the top of the division in my, you know, preseason rankings, but I think you got to give a little credit to Ben Johnson, who's doing great with the Bears. And on the flip side of things, back to the Lions, that's probably what's busted. Losing coordinators and losing a lot in the end of the offseason. You saw the Philadelphia Eagles do it a little bit when they lost Steichen and Gannon. I think that's kind of, I think I'm answering my own question here. That's probably what happened with Detroit. They simply just lost too many things.
Yeah. And with Detroit, Goff plays well when everything goes well. He's not necessarily somebody that's going to elevate a bad team. He's going to be really good on a good team. They have so much talent, but I think you're right. Just something's not clicking, square peg, round hole. Just something, they haven't been healthy totally defensively. I know they're getting healthier on the defensive side of the ball, especially in their secondary. And then you look at this thinking, oh, they're going to get Frank Ragnow back. Frank Ragnow goes into the doctor and his hamstring's off the bone. And they said, I don't think this is for you. So he's not going to come back at the interior of the offensive line. And another thing we got to consider here is you mentioned, I mentioned a play-in game for the postseason. Both these teams are 8-9 in the NFC, which means that they would need one of the San Franciscos of the world, the Green Bays of the world, the Seattles of the world to lose. And all those teams got 8 or 9 wins. And the Packers on one end have the 2-game lead on Detroit as a division. Now, they also have a tie, so I don't know how much it matters in terms of the head-to-head, but they also have the tie, which makes it better in terms of the actual same amount of wins. So they're going to need not only help, they're going to need teams like Seattle, Green Bay, and San Francisco, one of them to lose, or, you know, it could be Chicago. They're going to need one of these teams to lose in order for Detroit and Dallas to kind of move up. And, you know, there's a lot of bad teams in the NFC, which means there's a lot of good teams, too, because a lot of teams are capitalizing on this.
It's that time of the year where it's elimination games, I think. If you lose, you could, quite frankly, play yourself out of a position in the postseason.
And both these teams might not even be in a position to get into the postseason as it is.
Right.
So they need help. Dallas doesn't have any head-to-heads against Seattle, Green Bay, or San Francisco coming up. And Detroit, on the other hand, Dallas's head-to-head was Arizona in that division, the NFC West. I mean, as for Detroit, they're 7-5 here. They're two straight games back. And they have the Rams next week. So that's not only considering the fact that they're 2 games back, but they probably got one of the best teams, if not the best team, in the NFL coming up next week. So they got not only is today a must win, you make the argument that if they lose today and, you know, the teams that need to win the games this weekend, as in, let's say, you know, Green Bay and the Bears are going to be, you know, negligible because they're playing each other.
Yep.
But if Seattle, all of a sudden, if these teams start to steal games, then we're looking at, I don't even know if there's a spot to be had, even if you can string together a couple wins towards the end of the season, because the Lions don't have a lot of head-to-heads against these teams either. They don't play either the Niners or the Seahawks to the end of the year. They're done with the Packers. I mean, they got one more against the Bears, and that's really it. So it's going to be a difficult position just to claw back into this thing, but both teams are sort of in the same spot. Well, all we could do is keep winning and then hope that somebody loses.
Is there a world again this year where 10 wins doesn't do it in the NFC? You saw that last year with
Seattle.
Absolutely,
because look at this. The 7th seed in the NFC is the San Francisco 49ers. They're 9-4.
Yeah. That's why, Colin, once again, 10 wins usually get you playoffs. It's always been a thing. Now, it's harder when you got the 17th game now. You know, for years before the 17th game, you win 10 games, you're usually in. But it just goes to show how competitive these teams are. You know, Mike Tannenbaum, who joins our program all the time, he says, you know, the reason the NFL is great is because of the parity. You know, any team could really go on a run and do it. You're seeing that with Chicago this year. You're seeing that with a couple of teams on the AFC side as well with the Colts. Now, granted, they might blow the division. It's a big matchup, Kyle, between your Jags and the Colts. But regardless, any team can really turn around at any given moment in this league if you got all the right things fixed. But to go back to my point, once again, 10 wins, double-digit wins, probably not getting it done in the NFC. It's crazy.
If you want to be in the NFC playoff picture, you got to be good in your division, and you got to be good on the road. Now, the problem is Detroit is fine on the road, but they're bad in their division. They're 1-3 to this point. Dallas is very good in their division. They're 3-1, but they're 2-4 on the road. So where one sort of thing picks itself up, the other one falls. And you can make an argument that, hey, outside of, you know, Carolina, which could steal a bid over Tampa Bay if they continue winning games, we might be looking at our playoff picture.
Mm.
You might be looking at your playoff picture, at least in terms of sheer teams that are in. The only other team that can maybe knock on the door is Carolina stealing a divisional bid. Outside of that, I mean, do we expect Seattle to fall 2 games back? I know the Seattle's got a tough schedule.
Probably not.
They still have to play the Colts. They still have to play the Rams and the Niners again. But San Francisco, on the other hand, San Francisco's got 3 of their last 4 at home. They're on bye this week. And then outside of that, Green Bay has a lot of divisional games, but they still play the Ravens and the Vikings.
That's the team. That's the team. If there's someone to fall out, it's them. And the Chicago Bears could personally escort them out. The Bears, who have lost 14 of 17 against that team, by the way. You know, this is a new team. Good news for Chicago fans. A new team, new head coach. But, I mean, Green Bay's been that boogeyman for a long time. So forgive me for thinking that Chicago isn't probably going to be able to do that. But that's the team, Colin. I think Green Bay is the team that could be escorted out, and it's going to come down to the Bears.
And the Bears also have a tough schedule, too. So That's why that's probably the most implicating game of the weekend is Bears-Packers, because both of whom have tough schedules, and all of a sudden the team that loses that game back is against the wall to win that next matchup, a week and a half later?
Right.
So that's probably the most implicating game of the weekend, but I'd make an argument that this is right there, close to number two or three. That Jags, the Bear game, the Jags-Colts game, excuse me, and then the Cowboy-Lion game, because this is going to decide who your in-the-hunt team is going to be the rest of the way.
And obviously, this is playoff implications tonight with Cowboys and the Lions. But Colin, the back end of the Lions' schedule, their last two games, they're at the Vikings and at the Bears, and believe it or not, those are their final division games. Are they done for the division?
Lions?
Is there any way that they could get back into the division race?
Three games.
Like,
it's crazy. And the Packers, who stunk in the division last year, are 3-0.
Right. And that's why they're going to be banking on Chicago. But the issue is if Chicago keeps winning, they're going to run away with it. So two things on tonight's game. Playoff implications. And then I know they're not in the same division, but I think the Lions, in their hopes of a home playoff game, are probably out the window at this point. They got to focus on being one of the last teams in as a wild card.
It makes you think Dallas is a big what-if team. Because they have so many. Think about how with Detroit. Detroit gets hurt with injuries and their coordinators leave. There's not a lot of things you could do about that.
Yeah.
Where the Cowboys, on the other hand, they've had a lot, some good moves, some bad moves. Some criticize the Micah Parsons trade, some don't. You know, they made a move for Quinton Williams. They made a move for George Pickens, which is by far their best move
of the
entire offseason.
Could be the move of the offseason.
Right. So they got Pickens, but then all of a sudden you get rid of Parsons. But then you use part of the Parsons compensation to go get Quinton Williams. They like to maneuver quite a bit. You know, they got Logan Wilson from the Bengals, the linebacker. They've been hurt with injury too, but it's a team that, you know, they got Schottenheimer last. They were one of the last teams to get their coaches. They got Brian Schottenheimer, who's done a good job for them. It's just been a strange offseason. A lot of some good, some bad. They make so many changes year in and year out that you almost can think about what if when it finally gets to it with Dallas. I don't know if they'd be that much better with Parsons, because there's so many defensive holes. But I can say, what if they did have Parsons hanging around there and Parsons was being the game record that he is for Green Bay right now, who Green Bay might steal a spot from Dallas.
It definitely would have helped him early on in the season. I'll even agree there. Because, you know, I was one of the people who kind of trolled the Packers in the sense of they got to give back their preseason Lombardi and stuff. I defended the trade for better terms. But it would have helped early on when that defense was getting gashed and Eberflus was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you lose Parsons, but you're helping Green Bay. You're helping Green Bay.
Right.
So now Green Bay has got their cornerstone defensive player, and Green Bay is, them or Chicago, are going to be in spots for the NFC wild card spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the spot that Dallas is going for. You can't look at the Eagles at this point. If you think the Eagles are going to continue to lose, you know, three of their next five games, you're wrong. So I wouldn't say that. They've gone on a two-game losing streak before, and they follow it with a win streak. But Dallas, you could almost say, what if they still had some of those key defensive players they either let walk, didn't want to negotiate with, and then now they're going to have to make the same decision with Pickens.
Now, what kind of game do you think you're going to see from Dak Prescott tonight, who's been just tearing the world on fire with 25 touchdowns?
Prescott. I like Prescott.
I'm
a Prescott guy. He gets hated on, I think, way too much.
We did this. So fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on Mondays, folks. We go 4-7. In that final hour, Colin and I, we went through the quarterbacks. We had him like top five, top six.
Top six, top seven.
Easily.
He's so hyper-critiqued because he's a Dallas Cowboy quarterback. And he's somebody who's in the prime of his career playing good football. And the problem with Dallas is you walk into every game thinking that the expectation is they're going to need to score 30. That's not a recipe for...
It's that Matt Eberflus defense, Colin.
They need to score 30. Now, they've had games where defensively they've been a little better. But generally, the consensus around this season is defensively, they've been, they've had problems.
And at least in the offseason, granted, they're still alive in the playoff hunt, for the record. But if they go 9 wins, 8 wins or whatever, at least you know what you got to do in the offseason. Or at least you know you're loading up defensively, you're loading up in the draft defensively. Maybe throw an offensive lineman in there. You could always use depth there. But with the draft picks the Cowboys have been able to get, I think it's going to help them in the future. Does it help with the now? Absolutely not. That's why we talked about the Micah Parsons thing. Could Parsons have helped out in the early games, and could they maybe have gotten one more win with Parsons on the roster? I'll listen to that. But at the same time, you know what you got to do, and I think the task at hand for Jones in the offseason, general manager and owner Jerry Jones, is pretty simple. But tonight are games where I think you separate the men from the boys. If Detroit wins, that's 8 wins, and they're inching closer to that 10-11 that we think it's going to take to get into the NFC. If the Cowboys lose, they're done. I think if they lose tonight, they're probably done, and I could probably say that for the rest of their games. We got 4 or 5 weeks left.
You could probably say that with both sides. If they lose,
you're there with the Lions.
Yeah.
Okay.
7-6. I mean, if they're unless they go 4-0 the rest of the way and get to 11 wins, 11 wins is still going to be we're tie-breaking our way through it.
Keep in mind, division games are tough. You're at Chicago and at Minnesota. Minnesota stinks, but still a division game. Still kind of a trap game a bit.
And, you know, Green Bay, for example, has got 5 games to get 3 wins. And they're 11-3-1. They beat Detroit out. Mm-hmm. So, like, they need to get to, if the key is 11 wins, they need to get 3 games.
You wonder what's going to come down to Green Bay. Which Jordan Love are we going to get? Are we going to see who I thought looked like a future Hall of Famer against the Lions on Thanksgiving? Or are you getting, Luke McCown throwing for 18 to 30 for a 120 and no touchdowns? I don't know. Every time I think that kid's done counting, he throws for 4 touchdowns, it looks like an all-pro.
Yeah, he's a little erratic. He's just got to get a little bit consistent. Let's play out a hypothetical really quick. So, let's say, I would make the argument you're right. Both teams are, in my opinion, out if they lose this game. This is a crucial game for Detroit. And for Dallas. Detroit has the Rams next week, so keep that in mind. Let's say Detroit falls to 7-6. Let's say this spirals a little bit into them missing the postseason, right?
Right.
Because the rest of the way, they still have to deal with the Bears. They got the Steelers and the Vikings, fine. But they still have to play the Rams in L.A. So let's say they lose this game and they don't make the postseason. All right. Detroit, what type of changes do you think a missed postseason from this team would warrant?
I don't think it's quarterback. Definitely. I think Goff's still around. I don't think it's get rid of Dan Campbell. I think it's retooling the coordinators. And give credit to the defensive coordinator. He's come up big in a couple of spots.
I think I'm on the exact same. I think I'm on the same page.
It's offensively. And
they're going to call Brian Daboll and get him under contract before he can, the body gets cold.
And then I think Campbell, I give him credit for trying to call plays. I give him, at least he's trying to change things and turn it around. But I don't think it's anything too drastic. It's probably offensive coordinator Colin.
It's a little a la Eagles after they lost both their coordinators as well when they lost Gannon and Steichen.
And they lost first round to Tampa Bay that year.
Yeah, and that's when they had Brian Johnson, who was their offensive coordinator, and they immediately got him out of there, brought Kellen Moore in, and then boom, they were great. And then they lose Kellen Moore, and now they're doing the same thing with Kevin Petullo.
Yep.
So it's just going to be a retool of the coordinators. You realize how much of a big deal that is. You're going to need an inventive, creative offensive coordinator. Brian Daboll just pops to mind. I think he'd totally take that if he's not at Penn State. So outside of that, I would agree with you. I think that they sort of have hitched their wagon to a lot of this roster. They got a lot of young players that they're eventually going to have to make a decision on, but Amon-Ra's already paid. Goff's already paid. In my opinion, let's end this David Montgomery experiment. I better see Jahmyr Gibbs in a must-win game. Jahmyr Gibbs must get 85% of the snaps.
Let me ask you this. Is the Super Bowl window closed for Detroit?
No.
Okay. Because in that, the only reason I ask the question is because now the Bears are better. At least we think. We've seen the Bears did this in 18 and then continue to be dreadful for 7 more years. But forgive me for thinking that Ben Johnson and company kind of turned that program around and team around.
It's hard
college
to declare that. It's hard to declare like the Bears, for example,
and the
being
Packers.
A multi-year success story because we don't know. And we would have said the same thing about the Lions last year, right? The Lions have 14 wins. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the team's going to kill everybody. You know, they're not going anywhere. And then I know they lost their coordinators, but, teams have off years. The Eagles did the same thing after their Super Bowl run.
But they won before that. They won a bowl before that, but totally. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Like, it's an on-year, off-year type of deal. As long as Detroit's core roster is still around, and that's guys like, their linebackers, and then Aiden Hutchinson at defensive line, if they could finally get healthy at the right spots, they have so many offensive pieces. Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra's already paid, like I said. Jared Goff's already paid. Jahmyr Gibbs, you do not let him walk out the door without a contract.
They got Sewell.
Yeah, so they got guys. They draft well. They develop well. Just a matter of getting healthy and getting the right coordinators in there. Mm-hmm. But it's weird. You're right. There's definitely just something off.
But so it didn't happen last year. You thought last year with facing a rookie quarterback at home, and they just completely fall on their face. They didn't even go to the NFC Championship
game. There's nothing about
this
year.
Losing the divisional round was rough last year.
There's nothing about this year's team that screams major roster issues with me. it screams a little bit of coaching issue.
Yeah. It's more to me, too, the surrounding entities.
It's not like we need to axe this roster. Too old.
Agreed.
Too slow. It's not like that.
Green Bay got better. Chicago got better. And forgive me for thinking that the Vikings are a quarterback away from being a 9-10 win team.
That's a team.
Jeez, oh, man.
You want to call it, that was a window.
They're trotting out the Bosmer from Skyrim as their quarterback, for God's sakes, Colin. I mean, that was a joke. Four interceptions. I mean, jeez. Threw the game away.
That's why you got to give Brock Purdy a little credit, because not everybody's like him. And not everybody can walk out of there being a 7th-round pick, undrafted, and basically walk in there and play pretty well. Yeah. So you can give him a little credit.
And they give the system credit. You give Shanahan credit.
We're so numb to stories like that. You know, Brady, Purdy, you know, these 5th-rounders that could kind of come out of nowhere and surprise people a little bit. We're so numb to it that we realize that these guys are undrafted 6th-7th-round picks for a reason. Mm-hmm. And throwing them into the fire is usually not going to end well. That was a classic him. What happened there?
Do you want the crazy Buckeye fan conspiracy theory on J.J. McCarthy? He doesn't know the plays. They don't know what they're running on defense anymore. Don't know the signals. That's why he's not good.
Because he cheated for three years. The stealing signs.
Correct. Because he cheated. He doesn't know what the defense is running.
Is that what they did? Is that what they knew?
Astros were really good at home in that 2017 playoffs.
I knew.
You know what the funny? See, here's the thing.
I knew
the
Christian
Astros
would be
won
on
again
it.
In 2022. That was fair.
I'm trolling. I got my hook out. I clearly have my hook out, but. Crazy Buckeye.
But it's also easier to throw when you know it's zone or man. Like, you're not 100% off base there, Mike.
That's all I'm saying.
He stinks.
That guy stinks.
He wasn't even great. He wasn't that great in college.
He was a game manager.
The team was great. He wasn't great.
The reason I thought it would translate was because pro style offense with Harbaugh, pro style quarterback. And is that the biggest disgrace of the year? Is that move? Of getting rid of Darnold. And listen, Colin, it's not even getting rid of Darnold. It's believing that guy could be good. Is that the biggest bozo move of the NFL year?
It's a big preventable problem. I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
Preventable problem. It's like you made your own bed. I say the same thing with Atlanta because,
you love Raheem Morris.
Oh, that coach stinks. That coach is terrible. We're out on him.
Well, I mean, we were out on him when he butchered the clock last year.
I mean, like, geez, how many 5-game losing streaks can you deal with?
That too. But if you listen to this program, one thing Colin and I can't handle, something we do on the couch is clock management. If you can't manage the clock, you do not belong as a head coach. I'm sorry. If you butcher the clock, that's something the fans can do at home.
Not good. Not good. What we got to do is we got to rank our top 10 NFL teams on the other side of things. First things first. Listen, if you're driving down the street, getting a little bit of a fender bender, fall down the stairs, you never know. If you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, listen up, because my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, the type that like to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They could get yours too. They're the best in the business for a reason. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today, because that's the difference. All it takes is that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Take back control with Anajar and Levine. Top 10 NFL power rankings on the other side of things. It's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Even with as good of a playoff-implicating game as you got tonight on Thursday Night Football, even if you're not even a fan of either team, you can still get on the Hard Rock Bet app and put some action on it and really get interested in it.
Absolutely, and I'm all over the Cowboys tonight. I really am. I'm looking at Dak Prescott's player props. You know, Dak's over passing yards, his touchdowns. Dak has been electric this season for the Cowboys. And that's what we're going to be doing with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. You could do the same. Make tonight a little more fun. Make tonight a little more fun with our good friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Obviously, gamble responsibly. But for all you snowbirds out there who are, you know, might be new here, who might be, you know, kind of popping in for a month, popping in for a couple of months, well, guess what? Hard Rock Bet is the only legal sports book here in Florida. So what I want you to do, I want you to download the app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Deposit $5. If you bet $5 on a game and you win, keyword win, you'll get $150 in bonus bets. You got to check out the 100 where you get boosted promos. Once 100 people are on the boosted promo bets, you move on to a new one. That's why they call it the 100. But I already sprinkled in my action for conference championship weekend. I was working with our teammate here at ESPN West Palm for my parlay of the weekend, Andrew, our good buddy Andrew. He's making my graphic. So you're going to see that up on our social medias. Be on the lookout at ESPN West Palm, at Mike Rizzo 22. But that's our good friends at Hard Rock Bet, man. You got conference championship weekend. You got a full slate of games of NFL on Sunday. You got Thursday Night Football tonight. Basically, win or go home, as I'm calling it. Download the app today, Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus, physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE.
All right, let's get to it. Let's do our top 10 power rankings NFL, presented by Good Quick Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Eagles still best team in the NFL. You know that they're not distracted.
Who's moving down?
I'm down on the Packers. This is going to be a major problem. We'll see.
It's time for the Russo and Rizzo NFL Power Rankings. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
Folks, you know my friends over at Good Greek, man. They're the safe and reliable option. That is Good Greek Moving and Storage. My buddy Spiro and his team got your back when you're trying to relocate your business, your home. It's all with Good Greek Moving and Storage. The safe option. Every single worker that you see in the trucks has been through the Spiro Superhero Movers Academy. It's the ones you trust with the family. And it's also the ones that sports teams around here trust. The Heat and the Hurricanes for decades. Visit GreekMoving.com. That is GreekMoving.com. My guy Spiro will be able to take care of you. All right, Kyle. I was not here last week, but you guys did do the power rankings. Obviously, they are changing because Lions lose and
Rams lose.
Dare me to say, when the hell was the last time a power ranking didn't feature the Lions or the Chiefs? Obviously, the Chiefs have been not kind of relevant for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, the Lions and the Chiefs, I feel like, are two teams in any power ranking out there that have kind of been in the top 10 over the last couple of years. I'm interested to see what we could come up with today.
All right, so last week we had the Rams at 1, the Broncos at 2, the Patriots at 3, Seattle's at 4, the Bears were at 5. We made a decision to put the Bears ahead of the Eagles ahead of that game. Turned out to be right. Eagles at 6, Colts at 7, Lions at 8, the 49ers at 9, Packers at 10. The first two out were the Bills and the Jaguars at 11 and 12.
Yeah, and I think the team that's obviously bouncing out are those Lions. You can't have them in that top 10 after losing at home to the Packers. So I think if we start with
number 10,
it's probably going to be Philadelphia. But as we always do, let's go through our top two teams that are going to be out. And I'm interested to hear you on this.
So the Colts have lost. The Eagles have lost. The Niners won, excuse me.
Yep.
But the Colts and the Eagles and the Lions all lost, so did the Rams. Rams are not moving out of the top 10. I'd make the argument that the Eagles are not moving out of the top 10 either.
I agree.
I'd listen to either of the Colts or the Lions.
I think Eagles at 10, no?
I think Eagles are going to be a little higher than
that. Okay. All right. So let's do number 10.
Number 10.
We'll listen to you with number 10 on that.
I would say one of the Colts or the Lions here.
I lean Colts. All right. I think you got to keep the Lions out.
All right.
If they win tonight, they could sneak back in. If they beat the Dallas Cowboys tonight, they sneak back in.
I agree with that. They're 7-5. Okay. I agree with that. No problem.
So we'll keep the Lions as our number 11 team this week, and that will be number 10. And then let's move to number 9.
Number 9.
I mean, I'm begging to throw the Eagles here. I'm begging to throw the Eagles as low as possible. You all right with Philadelphia checking in here until a moment's notice?
I have no problem with that. They lost at home to Chicago. Despite Chicago being a good team, you can't lose that game.
No.
Not on Black Friday. Can't lose that game. So number 9, I have no problem with the Eagles.
And then 8.
Number 8.
I could listen to any of the sorts. San Francisco, Indianapolis.
Here's how you'd put it. I mean, San Francisco was ahead of Green Bay last week. But Green Bay, in my opinion, had more impressive of a win comparatively to Shedeur Sanders' second start for the Browns.
What do you mean?
So if there's a leapfrog opportunity, I'm fine with it there. We have 8 teams remaining. We know that the 49ers, the Packers, the Bears, the Seahawks, the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Rams are going to be there, and then the Bills are probably your 8th team.
I think, yeah, you check in with Buffalo 8. Here. Even with that win against the Steelers, they kind of messed around a little bit early on in that.
Yeah, it's a weird team. If there's a team that I'm more than happy to eventually move out of here, it's going to be Buffalo.
Yeah, and they're done in the division. Like, 2 more wins probably gets them into that AFC playoff equation. But I think at this point, with what they have in front of them, you got to put them at number 8.
The AFC, it's so different. The NFC, you got a ton of juggernauts fighting for those wild card spots. And the AFC, you get teams just trying not to lose, going to escape into their AFC counterpart wild card spots. Mm-hmm. All right, Bills at 8. What are we going to do at 7?
Number 7.
I think you got to do 49ers here.
Yeah, it's definitely San Francisco. Believe it or not, that was a game against the Browns till the third quarter when the Browns decided to go for it in their own territory. God only knows why, Colin. But San Francisco was able to take control from there. They win. Is it fair to say they win ugly? You can judge me for saying that. I think they win ugly. But that's kind of what Kyle Shanahan does. They're going to run the ball a ton. They're not going to have that flashy play, especially with Ayuk and company, you know, not really
present
there
anymore. I got to give them a lot of credit because they're not – I don't care how bad the schedule is. They got 3 of their last 4 games at home, even though there was a couple tough games there. They still have the Titans on the schedule. That team's going to win 11 games with just about every injury in the book. Fred Warner's done for the year. Nick Bosa's done for the year. Brock Purdy has never been healthy. The receivers are never healthy. Christian McCaffrey's been the only constant in that lineup. George Kittle was not healthy for parts of the year. You got to give him a lot of credit for that. I know it's been an easy schedule for them. You're right. They do win ugly because I don't think they have the manpower. That team's going to get smoked in the postseason when it matters.
Yeah.
But they are going to get there.
9 wins. I just can't believe they have 9 wins.
Number 6.
Move on to number 6, Colin.
And they got a bye this week, too, so they can finally get healthy.
Packers or Colts?
No, we already had the Colts at 10.
Sorry.
We got the Packers or the Rams. I go Packers.
I don't think you punish the Rams that much. I mean, they were number 1 last week,
yeah,
too.
I think Packers at 6 here is a fine spot. That is a clear number 6. They played well recently. They had coming off a great, great win. They get a huge opportunity this Sunday to really move into potentially the top 3 or 4 if they're able to beat the Bears.
Yep.
That's going to be a massive game. So I look at the Packers here at 6 now, with absolutely nothing to worry about.
Now I'm excited for our 5.
Number 5.
Because you got, Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, Chicago, New England, Denver, Seattle, Rams. We got to rank them.
Yeah. And we 10 through 9 in our top 10 power rankings. Presented by Kukri Moving and Storage. We got the Colts at 10, Eagles at 9, the Buffalo Bills at 8, 49ers at 7, Packers at 6, and then number 5.
I
think this is the Rams.
Over
it's the Rams.
It's okay. Still Seattle over the Rams because of the big win against the Vikings. I'll listen to that.
Number 5.
Even though big the Vikings, win is a word. No, yeah, no, big win's a word.
They had the Bosmer from Skyrim starting for them.
It's the Rams. I mean, the Rams, I understand that was a trap game of all trap games, but they lost to Carolina.
Yeah.
That's a bad game. They didn't play that great.
What do you mean, dude? Carolina's making the playoffs.
Yeah, 84 Niners would have lost that game, too, if Carolina was on their right week. Rams are fine here. I have no problem with that.
Now I'm getting ahead of myself.
Number 4.
I'm interested to see where you think. Actually, I'm just going to ask you, where do you want to put the Broncos? They're 10-2, Colin. They've won, 9 games in a row?
Before we even get there, I think this is where you put Seattle. Can I really grade them for playing Tennessee and the Vikings back-to-back weeks?
I'm dying to put...
I know the Rams beat them head-to-head 3 weeks ago, but the Rams just lost more recently.
I was the one telling you we needed to put Denver number 1 about 2-3 weeks ago when they won 5-6 in a row.
There's a number 1 that I have in mind.
That's fine. We can put Broncos here.
Number 4.
No, number 4, the Seattle Seahawks here.
Oh, okay. I want to put the Broncos here. That's
Rams at 5, Seattle at 4.
I wanted to talk myself into putting the Broncos here because...
You're down on the Broncos.
Are they going to win a playoff game? They might have home field.
They're going to win their division.
And they might win the AFC with only 2 losses.
Yeah, you want to talk about winning every game ugly. It's them.
If there is a Fugazi team out there, it is Denver, but you got to respect the record. All right, I guess we'll put Seattle here. Now we
number 3.
This is Broncos.
Okay. Good.
No problem there.
Good. Because I think with Bo Nix and his kind of shaky starts, let's just say that, I think at this point it's evident that this is a sophomore slump for him. You can blame Sean Payton. You can blame the weapons around him.
I wouldn't call
him
slumping. They're 10-2.
For him personally.
Hey, stats are stats. Wins are wins.
Number two.
It's the Bears.
Yeah, it has to be. And
why? You got to bet. You got to reward them for beating the Eagles at the Eagles. You got to reward that. That has to warrant a jump. They were 5 last week. They have to be in the top 3. And if you want to put the Broncos above the Bears, they're essentially the same team, but in opposite divisions. They have pretty adequate at best quarterback play from second year players. They have 2 pretty feisty defenses. They got 2 pretty feisty coaches, and they win every game by the grace of God.
I was a year early on the Bear train. All they needed was Ben Johnson to turn around Caleb Williams and to possibly win the division in his first season. But it's reminiscent of 18 for me, when Matt Nagy was the coach, when Mitch Trubisky was the young flashy quarterback at the time, and then they had the double doink. and they weren't able to figure things out.
Yeah, let's hope that's not the team.
I hope it's not. I hope it's not. But we do have the Bears at
number two.
And then at number one.
Number one.
I mean,
it's New England.
Ohio State beat Michigan, and it's rightfully so. We have a Buckeye man at number one and Mike Vrabel.
New England. They give you absolutely no reason to go otherwise. They scored 27 points in like the first 12 minutes of the game.
Yep.
It's too bad. I don't care how bad their schedule is. When they win like that, they've had some tight wins. I mean, you know, they haven't been terribly challenged. You got to give them credit.
Who are you taking over them? Buffalo and how horrible that offense has looked? And listen, you guys know how much I love Josh Allen. Josh Allen doesn't look like Josh Allen right now. You're certainly not taking anyone in the North. Spare me with the Ravens or the Steelers.
And the Rams just lost. The Rams are the only team that you would comfortably take over the Patriots. You probably still, if the Rams played the Patriots neutral field right now, the Rams would probably be favored.
The point I'm trying to make, too, is they are the favorite in the AFC right now. They are the favorite in the AFC right now and arguably in the entire NFL. Is the NFC more competitive? Absolutely. Are the better teams in whole residing in the NFC total and totality number? Absolutely. But the Patriots are our number one.
Yeah, you're a little bit more comfortable with the experience coming from the NFC. But I agree with you. Yeah. The Patriots, if they played the Rams today on a neutral field, the Rams would be favored. Mm-hmm. That'd be a -2.5. But sitting here today, you got to rank based on what we've seen recently. Is it fair that we put Seattle number 4 and the Rams at number 5 when the Rams beat them about 3.5 weeks ago? No, it's not fair. But the Rams lost to Carolina.
They're calling us phonies.
Fine. There's too much. I do head-to-head early. Head-to-head has got to be a past 3 weeks thing, really. Because, again, there's too many teams that you can transitive property your way through the whole way. Oh, they beat them, but, you know, this team beat that team, but they also won here. You can do that until the cows come home.
You sound like a Miami fan, a Miami Hurricane fan.
You got to do just what you've seen recently.
Yeah. But, folks,
does sound like the College Football Playoff Committee.
Correct. And that was our top 10 presented by our good friends over at Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
All right, to close that, we get the Colts at 10, the Eagles at 9, the Buffalo Bills at 8. That's the only one I'm uncomfortable with. I'd be happy to move the Buffalo Bills back. Too late now. But the Bills are at 8. The Niners were at 7. Packers were at 6. The Rams at 5. The Seattle Seahawks at 4. The Broncos at 3. The Bears at 2. And the Patriots at 1. First two teams out are going to be who?
I think it's your Jags.
Jags at 11. I have no problem with that.
And then we could have a discussion about...
This is probably where you put the Lions.
Yeah. God, they stink. I think you're going to find that out even more on Thursday. I think...
Put Dallas here.
I think Dallas rolls tonight, but for the sake of the argument...
Dallas, Chargers...
For the sake of the argument, let's just put the Lions until further notice. If they lose...
That's Dallas' spot if they win again.
Agreed. All right. And then they're going to be 7 wins fighting for a final playoff spot. And that godforsaken tie. And that stupid game against the Packers that we were all up way too late for 3 months ago.
That was a waste of time.
Ugh.
It was a total waste of time.
Horrible. I mean, we were up till about midnight.
Yeah. I didn't love that.
No. No.
For 40-40. That's why the ties are a waste of time. Because it hurts the tiebreaker. The whole reason you play these head-to-head games is to secure tiebreakers over these other teams when you have the same record when you're trying to put together the playoff picture.
We played a 5.5-hour football game. We didn't have a winner.
Wasn't a 5.5-hour
football game. That's not right.
It's probably a 4-hour game.
Okay, all right. Well, we played a 4-hour football game, Colin, and we didn't have a winner. 5.5 sounds funnier. No?
It was 6 hours.
Seemed like it. I mean, geez, yeah. It certainly seemed like it. God, the two games that were tough to stay up for, that one, and then remember the lightning delay? What was that, the first game of the year?
Oh, with the Packers or the Eagles and the Cowboys?
It's always the damn Cowboys who are in these godforsaken long games.
That first week of the season, yeah.
It's always the Cowboys in these games.
I'd say, yeah.
Not tonight, though. They're going to roll.
That Raider-Bronco game on Thursday Night Football.
I turned it off.
10-7.
That
was a rough one.
Usually, you're on my case of, Mike, it's your job and this and that. I get it. I watch these games, Colin. I turned it off.
We're good on that one.
I turned it off.
I watched that because I took him in Survivor.
Correct.
Which I got to decide my team this week.
We could do that. Let's do that next. I want to do that for you next.
All right. We'll figure out my Survivor next. We're going to do through the rules. I'm 1 of 5 remaining. $4,000 on the line.
Okay. Well, we're going to figure out who you're taking.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Kat, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, you can listen to Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. You can listen to all of our extensive high school coverage. You can listen to Inter Miami, which has a big MLS Cup final this weekend. Saturday, Mike Rizzo's got you for a 3-hour post.
No.
What time does coverage start?
It starts at 2 o'clock on ESPN 106.3. It's actually going to be over the airwaves, so you'll be able to listen to it on the app.
and over the airwaves. It's however you want to listen.
Do we have postgame?
We do have postgame. And hopefully Mike Rizzo.
Couple hours?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's at the Cup. Like,
it's on site, surely.
Yeah. The Cup is going to be on site at Shea Stadium, but Mike Rizzo is going to be here at the City Point Studios because the game is on ESPN 106.3 and I'm producing it.
But you have a lot to talk about, so like I'm thinking 2-3 hours.
I think MLS Cup, I would do 3-hour postgame. That's just
me. That's true. What if you get messy?
It'll be our 30-minute.
Well, you got to preview it. What listen, about you're getting the preview?
It'll listen.
So
let me put this.
All right. I'm not a program director. Here's how I'd do it. I would do. What time is the match start?
2:30. Ball's rolling. So which
right, I would be in the studio in the chair at 12. All right.
It's a good idea.
I would do 12 to 1. No commercials. And then I would do 1 to 2. I would do, one commercial break at around midpoint. Let Mike go to the bathroom.
I can't even look.
And then
you have a whole season to review.
Right. You got to do every game. You got to do every matchup, every key decision. And then once the match starts, you get thrown to Ken, who's going to be on the call around 2:20. 2:23. Mike's got all the pregame stuff. 2:23. I think Mike should give. Every 5 or so minutes, throw to Mike, make sure he gets a couple words in. And then post-game, let's ballpark. What is it going to end around 4:15?
So what?
4:15?
Would it 8-hour broadcast?
4:30, 4 trophy presentation. I think we should have a live play-by-play of that. And then I think we should go to Mike, let's say around 5. And I think you walking out of here any later than around 8:30, 9 o'clock would be a complete disservice.
It's an under-deliver.
To the coverage.
So a 9.5.
It's a cup.
A 9.5-hour broadcast. I can't with you guys. I can't with
you. Something else going on?
There's nothing else to watch.
Guys, all right? Folks, for those of you that don't know, I'm an Ohio State man. Ohio State plays at 8 o'clock, and they're trying to figure out ways to
I was even thinking about Ohio State. I'm thinking about Inter-Miami. I'm thinking about Inter-Miami. What's the best for the
company? Well, what I'm saying is a 9.5-hour broadcast is not what's best for our parents and our partners. Okay? I will be live at 2 o'clock with the pregame like how I've been 30 minutes before every game. And you are right. We will be on a little extra if Inter-Miami wins.
How long is
wins.
A little?
Listen, realistically, if Inter-Miami wins the cup, we're going to have the 20 to 30 minutes of the trophy celebration from Chase Stadium. We'll have that audio, and then I'll do another 20 minutes of postgame after.
20?
Yeah.
Wait.
I would do.
You can wrist off every play.
I would do 90 minutes uninterrupted.
And is then that we'll right? Go from there. Okay. Right. Dude, hang on. Did Colin ever tell you the story on how he did FAN overnight and he got sick as a dog and they didn't have any commercials for about 9 hours?
It was an overnight shift.
Tell this story.
So this is rough. This was December 21st, I want to say, of 2023. And now 2023, and I was doing WFAN. I got they allowed me to wanted me to do an overnight fill in gap during the holidays. They need people to do it, and I'm like, hey, you want to get a rip and get some experience? Yeah, absolutely. So they had me do the 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. slate, and I did it right after a net game, and the net game was a godforsaken Nets Mavs game, and then it was one of those days where I felt weird about it, and then because I just felt. It was holiday season. I was in the city with my parents. I start the show, and progressively throughout the show, I came down with the flu.
Oh, God. Kid got sick.
I was to the point I was bedridden. Once I returned, I was bedridden until December 27th. I missed Christmas that year because I was just so sick for 5 or 6 days. I think it was just my body was just holding it back because they knew I had something important to do. And around, it was the day Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers instead of the Yankees. And at around 12:45, 1 o'clock, I remember telling the producer, all right, I'm feeling this illness that's beholden on me. How much longer we got? He goes, yeah, you got about you got a minute of commercials, and we got about 1:15 to go. What? What? All right.
1 minute commercial break and 1:15.
And I drove back in the middle of the night, so it was an easy drive. But in that 45 to an hour drive back from Midtown to Connecticut, I was coughing 103 fever, sick as a dog.
Oh.
It's bizarre. Bizarre.
Now, something you've hidden pretty good, been a little congested the last couple of days. Yeah. Colin's been getting everybody sick in the office.
I'm not
Christian.
Getting everybody sick in the office. I don't have a cough. I don't have a fever. There's nothing. I'm just congested.
Dude,
it's like
the show ended for Colin yesterday at the perfect moment. Your voice was gone. Dude.
Well, that's what happens when you're congested is
correct.
Your voice goes
correct.
Your voice goes quick.
But it came, thank God, it was a 2-hour program yesterday. because it came at a great point. Let's talk about your survivor. Who the hell do you got left and who you're going to take? For those of you that don't know, Colin's in a survivor. He's one of the only people left in his survivor. Who do you got left for the NFL side of things?
To bring it full circle, we're going to do 5-hour postgame.
No, we're not doing 5-hour postgame.
Messi's going to be sitting there while you're walking out the door thinking, oh, I thought I was booked.
We're not doing 5-hour postgame.
Messi's joining you guys at 8:30. You got to fill time until then.
Ooh, if you get confirmed, Lionel Messi, we got it booked, 8:15, Mike.
Messi who doesn't do English interviews and hasn't done an interview.
That's plenty of time for you to practice your Spanish.
somehow, some way, I'm going to get the book of the century.
Yeah.
With Lionel Messi and his translator, then yes, I will be here
it's
for 5 hours.
It's during fourth quarter, Ohio State, Indiana, 28-28.
Mendoza just put
and
up
the committee
the
announced that it's going to be a 14 playoff this year, not a 12. So the winner of this game gets in.
You think they're putting up four touchdowns against that defense for play? Here we go. Doc Al says Riz Colin is definitely getting everyone sick. That's Dr. Al.
Doc Al's dead wrong.
Meds only medical.
Dead wrong.
He says you're getting everybody sick.
Dead wrong.
That's true. What would the doctor know about sickness?
This is how he makes his bucks.
And Doc Al has only been
trying to get some clients.
Yeah. Hold on. And Christian, Doc Al has only been listening to the show, you know, all week hearing Colin's voice.
He's dead wrong. Lost my voice a little bit. Nonetheless, week 14, I'm still alive in my survivor. I'm one of five remaining. There's a couple hundred people in this. All right. There's a couple options I could go this week, but I know I'm going to take San Francisco. San Francisco is off the table because they have the Titans next week. I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but I've sort of had this planned out. Problem is, Titans and the Browns are popular picks against each other.
Yep.
They're playing each other this weekend, so that doesn't help.
I probably would, if you had to pick someone in that godforsaken game.
I think I'm going to take the Buccaneers, and I don't like that game. Saints at Buccaneers in Tampa. 1 o'clock game. You tell me that's a game the Buccaneers could totally drop. And the Saints didn't play half bad last week against the Dolphins.
You're in a good spot. You'd live with that. You'd live with that loss.
You'd live with that loss. Yeah, it's a week 14.
That's my thing. You'd live with that loss.
Don't talk like that. I don't want to live with that loss.
But like who comparatively to who? The Titans or the Browns?
Yeah, there's no game where I could choose both. I could choose Packers or Bears. I'm not doing that. Texans or Chiefs. I'm not doing that. And then I could choose one or the other of Dolphins and Jets. I'm not doing that.
You rely on Baker to go 8-5 and hopefully take control of that division. Because who's left in that? It's them and Carolina, correct? Carolina's 7-5.
Yep. And yeah, they're going to need the game.
They need the game. And it's about time Baker has a good game, right? It's about time he has a good game.
But it's a divisional game. You'd think they're
the
due.
The Saints stink. Listen to me. The kid who got knocked out by the Saints because I took those godforsaken Panthers at home, it wouldn't have mattered anyway because we would have had to take Baltimore during the Thanksgiving. So regardless, they're not winning that game.
Yeah.
They're not winning that.
I'm looking at the Buccaneers at 7-5 over the Saints this week in my survivor. And the good news is I'm at the point now where I'm looking at everybody else's picks and doing the math, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the five people remaining, two have taken Tampa Bay. So now all of a sudden that cuts down. At least it tells me that they're not going to take the same game as me.
Yeah.
So if I move on, there's a chance that they don't move on.
You're hedging a bit, and I like it.
And there was a person last week that took Philadelphia over the Bears, and they got burned in that godforsaken Black Friday game.
Oh, God.
I don't know why they would take that game. But Survivor at this point, you're grasping at straws.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have the Niners next week home against the Titans. That's the one I really like. That's the Niners off the bye.
Dude, that's a week one. That's a week one layup.
So I need that. I need to get to next week. Next week, I'm in a good spot there. And the week after that, I don't even want to think about it. But that's Christmas week. That's the week before Christmas. And there's not a lot of good options. I'll have to figure that out when we get there. Mm. Hopefully, I'm one of the last ones. Still,
unless it looks like you're taking the winner of Jacksonville, and
I'm gonna have to take the Cardinals to upset the Falcons. So something like that.
Yes,
but I don't know what I'm gonna do. But I think you're cool with that. You like that Buccaneer pick?
Yeah, dude, it's the pick. That's the pick. And I know you don't want to think that way, but you live with it.
I don't like that. I don't like you live with that loss.
By the way, Christian, Doc Al is sending me things from the Northwestern Medicine Journal on why Colin is getting everybody sick.
What he's doing?
Yeah.
You got to plug his phone number right after? I mean, come on.
By the way, Northwestern Medicine, when am I contagious? A cough or a fever aren't the only indications of being contagious, explains Dr. Anderson. So,
now you've got Al and Anderson just putting Colin in a body bag.
I'm not getting people sick.
Just putting Colin in a body bag. Did I tell you what happened to me when I was late today? Dude, I woke up and I felt like crap. And I'm like, that damn Colin got me sick.
You're not sick right now. How did I get
I'm
you
good
sick?
Because I sweated it out.
So you're not sick.
I sweated it out.
You didn't sleep well.
Because I went out. No, I slept great. And I woke up and I had frog's throat. I thought I was going to have a fever. I had a headache.
Oh, I had none of those symptoms. How would you get that from me?
I chugged water because you got the flu. I chugged water.
I don't have the flu.
Christian, I chugged water and I said, you know what? I'm going to go sweat this out. Dude, I ran four, what did I tell you, Kyle? About 4.5 outside, sweated it all out, took a shower. I felt like $1 million.
You slept
You sweat it out.
You slept
A thing like that. Doc L will probably disagree with me on this, too.
You slept
Me shooting from the hip here. You got to sweat that crap
out. Well, see, when you get three symptoms that I did not have, and then all of a sudden you're going to be like,
But it's a version of what you had.
That's not how that works.
Yes, it is.
Get Doc L to send you another Northwestern article about how that's
you're
not how that works.
You're getting everybody
how
sick.
That's not how that works.
We got to turn the show into Rogan. Just talk about some pseudoscience.
Yeah,
you know what? If you hop on one leg enough, you know, to clear your
don't
sinuses.
Don't even get me started on how the Egyptians had help from the aliens back in the day. That's my favorite stuff that they do on Rogan, by the way, is the old civilization stuff. Dude, this stuff, the hieroglyphics in the pyramids, like, show, like, these mechanisms that, like, still nobody knows, you know, what the heck that they are, and they were, like, a power source. Dude, the Egyptians were onto something back in the day.
I'm in the middle of a I'm not a podcast guy. I'm in the middle of a podcast. 3.5 hours strictly on the rise and fall of the Roman Empire.
Oh, dude.
I'll send it to you. Yeah, you'll get a kick out of it.
That's those.
And it's this one expert who basically is going 4 hours uninterrupted about everything. Mm. And there's some moderator there asking him directing questions.
Right.
Doing everything. It is great.
I think I've told
and
you.
And I'm not a Roman Empire guy.
I
study Latin. I got my fix, but it's good to get back.
I love history. I'm fascinated. The Egyptians are probably my favorite ancient civilization. Obviously, me being a little Siciliano,
Your favorite?
Ancient civilization.
Okay.
It has to be the Egyptians.
It's a sports team?
Yeah, for sure. Dude, I'm a huge fan of the Pharaoh.
You're huge
fan of the Pharaoh.
Eye test.
No. But I just think with, you know, the data that we have and the information that we have, you know, prior to, even after the Alexandria Library burned down, they were well above their time. Well advanced in medicine and irrigation and everything.
Mesopotamia, bar for bar, stat for stat. Yeah.
You definitely looked that up on Google.
No, I forget where Mesopotamia is, but that was a big...
Isn't it the Middle East?
Probably.
Yeah. I think it's the Middle East. Because you guys get ancient civilizations.
You'd get a kick out of this. You'd get a kick out of this ancient Rome one. You'd get a kick out of it. I really.
And then the religious of, you know, I'm a devoted Catholic for the record, but the religion is fascinating too on how many gods there are and why they believed in it and the afterlife process of the mummification. I mean, dude, the whole thing is fascinating to me in Egypt.
Mike Rizzo, go ahead.
Go ahead, Christian.
No, I was going to ask if you would want to be mummified.
No, God, no.
We're good.
You can bury me into the ground next.
You can answer.
I've been to the pyramids. You never been, huh? Will you ever go to Egypt? You never leave the country. What's gonna break the seal of you leaving the country? Is it gonna be Italy?
Hell no. This guy's gonna go on a cruise off the port of
Bahamas.
Riviera
Beach. Have you been to the Bahamas yet?
I told you I got my passport. I went with Uncle Mark on the Miss Amy.
Was that recent?
Yeah, it was. What was it? Like
I have no idea.
Six eight months
Cozumel.
Ago. That's when I told you.
Okay, because I know you missed out on a trip.
We went to the Bahamas. Yeah, I did.
So that was the first time you went out of the country.
Yeah.
Is that the first time you get your passport stamped? Did it get stamped?
Correct.
I did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You had to show it to the. You
know. I don't know. I haven't taken a boat.
You had to show it to the man, you know, checking it.
Right. So that's good. All right. So outside of that, which is going to be the first country that actually breaks your seal of international travel?
Canada.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe.
Wow.
If not Canada,
it's got to be Italy.
Italy or Japan? You know, I'm fascinated with Japanese culture.
Really? You would jump
that's a long
straight
way to go.
To Tokyo.
I would. You
a
guys know
to
I love my anime. I love Japanese culture. I love the. Now, a close second is probably the ancient samurai. That's
probably. You know what? They have outlets in the plane. You'll be okay. With your Switch, you'll be okay.
Yeah. And I'd pay $5,000 for an airplane ticket.
Well, they don't come with switches.
I want my bed.
You still got to bring that.
Well, what I'm saying is what do they call it? Business? Help me out.
Business
first
class.
Business class.
There you go. Like where you get somewhere to lay down.
Yeah.
That's what I would get.
Yeah, okay.
I would get that.
A flatbed.
I mean, geez, if I'm on the flight for 13 hours, brother, I'm going to have to go to bed.
I think it's longer than that.
That's what I mean.
I think it's
14.
Like 16 or 18
Like I'm going to have to go to bed, dude. I'm going to have to go to bed.
So that's going
to
be that one before Italy?
Probably. So here's the thing. My brother plans on going to Italy once a year now because he just went
for the first time,
and he told me and my father.
Who did he go with?
He went with our buddy Matt Anorato, another Siciliano.
Okay.
But he said no matter what, he's going every single year.
So how about you just hop on one of those?
That's right. Yeah, I will. But at the same, like, I think the Pokemon Worlds is matching up in Japan as well, and I really want to go to that.
Is that like a sporting event?
It's what I almost qualified for.
Wow.
I was one battle away from freaking...
It's like losing in the AFC Championship game and going to as a fan to the Super Bowl.
It's like losing in the European... It's like one of the young... It's like one of the back-end soccer teams losing in the final game to get to Champions League. That play in one of the
smaller
conferences.
You didn't qualify for the World Cup and you
correct,
go watch.
Correct. I was the one game away from qualifying for the World Cup. Easier. Right. Champions.
What is that?
The World Cup?
The Japanese...
Summer.
When is Joe Rizzo going to?
August.
Maybe you get two international trips on your docket this summer.
I'm already in the process of saving some dollars, so it's right. It's expensive.
Hey, Christmas coming around.
I would do Italy before I do.
Christmas is going to Bill's.
In your position, I would do Italy with your brother before I do Pokemon World Championships.
But my boy Gomer's going to go with me.
You can go next year.
But it's not going to be in Japan. It's probably going to be in Anaheim.
Do they go back and forth between Anaheim and
Japan?
Yeah.
It was in LA this past year.
Thank God you almost qualified for one in Japan. If you had to go to Anaheim, that'd be a waste of time.
God, what was the friggin' city? I forget the city, but it was beautiful. It was like
in Tokyo? In Japan?
It was in Japan.
Komodo?
No.
Kyoto.
That might have been.
I was thinking of the dragon.
It was something. I'll look it up. I'll look up the
or it might be Kyoto. Listen, I think it's Kyoto.
I know everyone is on the edge of their seat for this, but I'll look it up and I'll get back to you guys. It was a 1-2.
Fascinating to hear where your Pokemon championships that you almost qualified were. If they were in, like, you know, Seattle, that would be a waste of time. Christian Cat, Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, 5 and 5. On the other side of things, it's Drew Sun Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.